The state court's decision tells of a forceful attack on a young video store clerk. A man enters the store on a search, he claims, for a particular movie. Once the clerk is distracted, he grabs her, lifts her up, squeezes her neck with his hands, shoves her down, says he'll rape her, exposing himself all the while. She fights back, they scuffle, he suddenly stops the attack and leaves. It's that final sentence that brings the case of Kansas versus Michael T. Crane to the United States Supreme Court. Justices will hear arguments over whether he's what Kansas can label a sexually violent predator, someone who needs to be kept out of society because he's remarkably dangerous. The Kansas statute, like those in many other states, keeps sexually violent offenders under lock and key even after their prison terms are up. They're sent to a mental hospital for treatment and then released when and if experts find them no longer a danger to society. If, because many believe such predators can never be cured. Michael T. Crane argues the Due Process Clause doesn't allow Kansas to keep him in custody after he's done his time in prison. Because he can control his violent impulses, he argues, the state's only option is to punish him when he acts violently, but it can't confine him to prevent his violence in the first place. And that's what the Supreme Court justices will help decide. Read through early articles about Michael T. Crane, and you'll be struck by the matter-of-fact telling of the story. Crane's been in such trouble since he was 10. Multiple indecent exposure charges. 3 physical sexual attacks. It's apparent from the case that the prosecution wanted him behind bars for a long time. A victory for that side when a jury found him guilty of kidnapping, attempted aggravated sexual sodomy, attempted rape, lewd behavior in the video store attack. A judge sentenced him to 35 years to life. But the Kansas Supreme Court overturned 2 of those convictions for what laypersons might call a technicality. The wording in the initial complaint against Michael Crane wasn't exactly right. Plus, the evidence against Crane didn't quite fit the definition of the kidnapping statute in Kansas. So in the end, Crane got much less time in prison. 4 years later, just before his release, the state brought him before another jury, arguing that he's a sexually violent predator who needs treatment, not release. After hearing from psychiatrists and victims, jurors found him a predator in just 90 minutes. But again, the Kansas Supreme Court reversed. He can control his violent sexual impulses. After all, he walked away from the sex attack he started at the video store. As a result, the Kansas court ruled he's not the type of criminal who constitutionally can be out of society. Only the out of control can be locked up indefinitely in such a case. Now it's up to the U.S. Supreme Court to help define when a sex offender's mental state is disturbed enough to satisfy a sexually violent predator statute. One hopeful note, nearly 4 years ago, justices reversed the Kansas Supreme Court in another sexually violent predator case. In that case, involving a convicted and admitted pedophile, the Kansas court found the statute unconstitutional. But in an opinion that softly chides the Kansas justices for their understanding of certain mental illnesses, the U.S. Supreme Court reversed. At last word, that sexual predator is undergoing treatment at a Kansas mental health facility. A neighbor, Michael T. Crane. I'm Amy Guida.